With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the History Unplugged podcast, the unscripted show that celebrates unsung heroes, myth busts historical lies, and rediscovers the forgotten stories that changed our world. I'm your host, Scott Rank. Hi, everyone. Today's question is this. Could you tell me about the real-life Dr. Frankenstein? All right. Maybe you've read Mary Shelley's book, Frankenstein. We don't exactly know who she based the character off, not the monster, but the doctor who created him out of human cadavers. But there is a person in history who looks shockingly similar to him, and that was Johann Conrad Dippel. Dippel was a German pietist theologian, an alchemist, and a physician. He became notorious for some of the experiments that he conducted, mostly with dead animals, of which he was an avid dissector. He claims in some of his writings to have discovered the elixir of life, which is a sought-after ingredient by alchemists to grant the user immortality and the means to exorcise, I mean in the sense of cast out, demons through potions that he concocted from boiled animals and flesh. Now, I want to mention something here about alchemy. When we hear the term, we imagine people trying to turn lead into gold. But from the period of the Middle Ages and then up to the 1600s and 1700s even, alchemy was a major robust branch of science. Alchemy just means to transmute, to take something from a lower quality or base metal into a finer metal like gold. But it can also have a spiritual meaning, that you transmute a lowly soul into a higher soul. It's a merging of a lot of different fields, of the natural philosophies, which is what people referred to as science back then. It merges natural philosophy with theology, with moral philosophy, basically a bridge between the material world and the spiritual world. It sounds crackpot today, but alchemy laid the foundation for modern day science, especially chemistry, and it had a lot of people who engaged in it, like Sir Isaac Newton. Anyway, Johann Dippel said in an essay that souls can be transferred from one corpse to another by using a funnel. So this is where I think he's starting to sound a lot like Dr. Frankenstein in Mary Shelley's book. In that book, our eccentric doctor creates a grotesque creature from unorthodox scientific experiments. The monster is 8 feet tall and composed of cadaver limbs. Well, Shelley got the idea not just out of her own imagination, but when she wrote her book in the early 1800s, there were other scientists who gave public demonstrations trying to reanimate human flesh through electric galvanism, which is whenever you get electric shocks and your arm jerks. Some scientists thought that was some sort of misunderstood mechanism that could actually be the stuff of life, and if we can control it, we could bring dead things back to life. Well, it didn't work, but it was a theory that inspired a lot of people, such as our subject under discussion, Dr. Dippel. He wanted to create a chemical means to extend the human lifespan, and Shelley just took his process to a horrific extension in her work of fiction. Johann Dippel was born at Castle Frankenstein near Darmstadt and studied theology, philosophy, and alchemy at the University of Gießen. This was in 1693, and alchemy had not yet been disproven as a pseudoscience. He was a controversial theologian and believed that the return of Christ was imminent and through pseudoscientific means could actually be predicted. He was also charismatic and managed to convince people of his unorthodox religious teachings. However, this soon ran him afoul with the law, and he was convicted of heresy and spent a few years in prison, back when heresy could get you that sort of jail sentence. He was also a theologian and did a lot of scientific experimentation by trying to achieve the alchemist's dream of the Philosopher's Stone, which was a substance believed to be able to transmute base metals into gold. He also created an animal oil known as Dipple's oil, which he thought was the elixir of life. Fortunate for him, some of his crackpot experiments actually turned out to work, although not in the way that he expected. For example, by accident, he created the color Prussian blue, which is a dark pigment with a complex chemical formula that is one of the first synthetic pigments, and it's used in paint and the traditional blue in blueprints today. It's also an anecdote for a certain type of heavy metal poisoning. During his stay at Castle Frankenstein, Johann Dippel continued to practice alchemy and worked with a basic form of nitroglycerin, which unfortunately he misused, and it led to an explosion at one of the towers at Castle Frankenstein. He soon developed a notorious reputation by the townspeople. They didn't know what he was up to, and all sorts of rumors spread, and some accused him of grave robbing and digging up cadavers in order to continue his experiments. One minister accused him of this, and even keeping company with the devil. The idea of a pitchfork mob storming his castle that we see in the old Frankenstein movies came from this folklore, although there's no good evidence that he did some of his most notorious things, like try to reanimate corpses. But these rumors probably came about because he was a shut-in that allowed people to let their imaginations run wild about what on earth he was actually doing up there in his castle. Dippel died at Wittgenstein Castle, most likely from a stroke, although it could have resulted from exposure to the many chemicals and poisons that he kept in his crude laboratory. It's easy to dismiss Dippel as a crackpot who's a mad scientist and out of step with the rest of the world, but it's actually quite to the contrary. Like I said, Dippel was a transitional figure between the Renaissance and the modern period of science, at a time when alchemy was still popular and modern scientific methods had not yet been fully developed. We often think of science in a very linear form, that during the Middle Ages there was no concept of the scientific method and only crude experimentation. Then with the glories of the Renaissance and the diminishing of the power of the church that cut down figures like Galileo and Copernicus, science was able to come in and erase superstition completely. Well, history is a lot messier and much less linear than that. Alchemy actually remained a viable scientific concept well into the early 1800s. Alchemy isn't a science in the modern sense of the word, but the modern biological sciences that we have today owe a lot to it. It was an ancient tradition that established many important types of thought conventions, like the use of procedures, equipment, and developed terminology that helped to form the paradigm of modern chemistry. So going back to our friend Johann Dippel, although his methods were very unorthodox and he was condemned by those around him, we have him to thank in a way for how modern science has developed. Experimenting on cadavers in his time was still a bit frowned upon, but exploring science through cadavers and systematizing the structure of human anatomy is a reason that our medical science is as advanced as it is today. Ask any first-year medical student, and they'll tell you that they spend months becoming good friends with their cadaver as they take it apart piece by piece to understand the full extent of human anatomy. And if it weren't for some of the eccentric experimenters of the past, like Dippel, then our knowledge of medicine and science probably wouldn't be where it is today. Well, thank you for the question. If you would like to submit your own, you can go to historyunplugpodcast.com. I'll be glad to answer anything that you throw at me. Thanks for listening to the History Unplugged podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show to get your daily dose of all things history related, from ancient Greece to the Cold War. You can do that by going to historyonthenet.com/subscribe. Speaking of History on the Net, if you want to dive deeper, go to our site historyonthenet.com, and there you'll find blog posts, book reviews, and all of our other podcast episodes. Plus, don't forget to rate and review this podcast so we can bring you the best daily history content possible. We'll see you next time at the History Unplugged podcast. Are you a man who thinks about the Roman Empire at least once a day? According to a recent internet meme, you definitely do. And why shouldn't you? Here's a clip from Tom Holland talking about Rome at the very height of its power.
When tourists go to the Colosseum, they're not really going there, I suspect, most of them, because they're admirers of Flavian architecture. I suspect that they're going there because it's the kind of the shiver that you get of going to a place where blood sports have happened.
To listen to more of this discussion, check out the History Unplugged podcast on the podcast player of your choice.
This episode is brought to you by Calitrin. Text the word unplugged to 30605, and I'll send you a link to a wonderful product that can help you finally succeed in shedding that extra weight. I took Calitrin for several weeks last year, and I felt great in several ways. I felt stronger, my workouts felt easier, I slept better, I was noticeably trimmer, there was no downside. Text the word unplugged to 30605 right now to see this week's special offer on Calitrin. Calitrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calitrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calitrin has an 86% success rate with their 90-day supply, and this week, take advantage of my special offer. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free plus free shipping. Ordering is easy. Just text the word unplugged to 30605 and I'll send you a link to the special offer. Again, text unplugged to 30605.